you for taking time out to come to be a part of our Easter service this morning. We have had a good weekend. Friday evening we had a good service, and then this morning we had sunrise service, and now we're here to celebrate once again this being the remembering of the resurrection, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we welcome you. We're glad you're here. If you've been here before, we welcome you. If you've been here all your life, we welcome you. And we thank you for being here. And if you've just been here this first time you've been here, we welcome you. And we just pray that the Lord will bless you as we worship together, that we draw close to Almighty God, that we will realize that Christ, the resurrected one, is what really amounts and counts to Christian people today. Welcome to each one of you.
For him of worship this morning, going to use number 267, first and third verse, and Benny will have her prayer. Is that
367.
367.
Would you live for Jesus and be always good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden and all your load? Let him have his way with thee. In
his heart, can make you what you want to be.
His love
can cleanse your heart and make you free.
His love can fill your soul and you will see.
Let's pray together. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful that we have life, that we have this day, and it's a blessed good day. We thank you for the bright sunshine that was with us early this morning as we celebrated celebrated in our sunrise service the resurrection of your Son and our Savior. We're thankful for that it's a good day today, Heavenly Father, that throughout the nation that we pray that many hundreds and thousands and millions of people would gather like the good people gathered here at Porter today, that Heavenly Father, they'll gather to honor you. They'll gather in remembrance of the resurrected one, and they're gathered to kind of celebrate this Easter season, which is set aside to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful we are to have one who has risen over death, over grave, and over hell, and made it possible for us, and even promised us, because we believe in him and we trust in him, that one day he will return for us and we'll be resurrected with him. And we're so thankful for that. So Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing our people this morning. Thank you for watching over past week and granting them the good things that you did, provided for them and kept them safe and watched over them. And so today, Heavenly Father, as we come together, please take our service as an honor to you, and take our service as acknowledging Jesus, the resurrected one, as to be your Son and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For our communion hymn, using number 169, singing the first and third verse.
Savior lives, because chapter begins with the 53rd verse. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, each hath to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity we have together at your house this morning. Thank you now for the growth and growth that you had on Calvary's cross, that we have life and ever, ever left. Be with each individual that take you in this morning. Put the things of the world out of their mind and look to Jesus, the ultimate finisher of our faith. His words we ask in thy name.
Father, we thank you for the many gifts. The greatest gift of all, of course, is Jesus. As we bring a portion of these data gifts back to our tithes and offerings, we ask that you multiply them for your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Once again, we say welcome to each and every one that is here. We have some folks that come in. Since then, we welcome you. And it's always good to see people in the Lord's house. And so each and every one, we are so glad that you're in the house of the Lord this morning and recognizing God to be God and our Savior, the resurrected one, to be your Savior. We've had a good weekend. We just thank the Lord for that. And so I don't know of any activities this week that we're going to be having. So let's turn to our prayer list then, and we acknowledge that we have several yet on our prayer list, and we've talked to you about a number of those, and I don't think there's much change in the ones that we have, and we do have Donna. We have a good report from her this morning, as we told you she was operated on last Wednesday, and her shoulder, and things are going well. We're thankful for that. And what else took place last week that we might be remembering? But certainly a number of people on our prayer list, keep them in your hearts and your minds and in your prayers. Our service people, those people that can't care for themselves. And of course, for this church here, pray for one another. God will bless you and help this church and use us in a good way to share the glorious good news of Jesus Christ as Savior. So as we come to our prayer time this morning, we have so much to be thankful for, and yet there's a lot of needs in people's lives, and we need to be praying about that. So as we come to our prayer time then.
Our prayer hymn, usually number 219, sing the first and last verse, and Jerry will have her prayer. Just hold that.
Rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. provided for us, another day of life that you spared us with. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings of life you give us. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to come and remember those that are less fortunate, those that are on beds of affliction, those that don't feel good, and the ones that are traveling the highways, Father, be with them and get them back to earth safely. Again, Father, we just thank you for the many blessings you give us. We know we're not worthy of all the blessings that you shower down on us, but we know that you think we are. Again, Father, just remember those that are sick and bedridden and the doctors that takes care of them, be with those people. Again, Father, forgive us for our many mistakes. For these things we do pray in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 351.
You all have heard the old saying, don't change the horse in the middle of the stream. Well, I had a song I was going to sing. This morning at services, Brother Benny made the remark, power in the blood. So, Michael got it.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. free from your passions and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since saints are lost in the life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you deserve us, Lord Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Thank you, Michael and Virginia. Always appreciate the special music that you folks share. And we always encourage other folks that if they would come and share anytime they want to, some special music for us. It's always good to sing about our Savior, sing about our Lord. If you have your bulletin, that is incorrect scripture we have in there. So I'll be using from Mark chapter 16, and when we get to that. If you were going on vacation, if you're going to plan a three-day trip, so you know, for the weekend, what a lot of people are doing this week, have done this weekend, Easter weekend is a good time to get away for about 3 days. Good Friday, most people are off from work, and so they head out and get a three-day weekend. Where would you go? What would you do? Would you go on a camping trip, maybe to some of the national parks here in Kentucky? Maybe you would motor down to the Smoky Mountains and enjoy the beautiful views down there, maybe see a mama bear with cubs, or maybe you would fly down to Disney World and visit with Mickey and all the crew down there. I don't know. What would you do for that three-day weekend that you'd plan? What would be your choice to do there? Maybe you would attend one of the festivals, holidays especially, and Easter is no different. A lot of towns and so forth has a little festival of some kind, and maybe you would go to one of those festivals and fill up on the fatty food, you know. Hard to tell, a lot of things that you could do. What would you do on a three-day weekend? I'm sure you wouldn't spend it in a cemetery. I'm sure you wouldn't send it in a cemetery sealed into a tomb. But Jesus chose to do that. Why did Jesus spend 3 days? Why did he spend a weekend in a tomb? Well, let's read here in chapter 16, and this is what took place after he spent those 3 days. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre and raising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. It was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into the Galilee, and shall you see as he has said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and they were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were frightened. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And also he went and told them that had been with him. As they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard of he was alive, and he had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form, and two of them, and as they walked in the way, went into the country. And they went and told it to the residents. Neither believed they them. Neither believed they them. Why did Jesus spend 3 days in that tomb? And the ladies came then to anoint his body. So that's what we would deal with this morning in particular. The question is, why did he spend 3 days in a tomb? After he had died, He'd fully paid the penalty for our sins. That's what the scripture said. He died, was nailed to the cross, paid the penalty for our sins. So when he was on the cross, paid the penalty, and he was pronounced dead, well, why didn't he just hop off of there? He was pronounced dead. Why didn't he just hop off of there and shake off death and say, hey, it's victory? Why did he spend the weekend in a tomb? I remember reading in one place in the scripture where it says Jesus was walking down the street with his followers, those disciples, and those who were following him. They were walking down the street, and here came a lady, and she was carrying her only son, a widow lady, and she was taking her only son to the graveyard, and Jesus came up to her and stopped them, walked over to the tomb and said, young man, arise, and gave her back her son. Jesus had control over life. Why didn't he, when he was on the cross, just hop off? But you know, I thought, I've read a couple of times about people who were being prepared for, who had thought to be dead, they'd been preparing them to burial, and they come alive. And I think about Jesus and about Joseph and Nicodemus, which came and got his body and was going to take it and bury it in a tomb. And late in the evening, they had to do that in a hurry, and so they just halfway did it. And so I can visualize Joseph and Nicodemus. They're wrapping the cloth around the body of Jesus, put a few spices in there. And what if Jesus had a set up right then and said, what are you guys doing? He could have done that. He could have rose from the dead any time. He didn't have to spend 3 days in a whole weekend in the tomb, did he? But he did. And it's, how exciting it would have been. I try to visualize it just a little funny. And I think of that little plot of Nicodemus and Joseph, that possibly that might have happened, you know. And they were wrapping Jesus, and he says that. Boy, that would be a real memorial act, wouldn't it? We remember things that happened to us. They would remember that. He came alive then, wouldn't they, if that would have happened? Surely there must have been a good reason for Jesus staying in that tomb for a weekend. Why did it say? Now, there are some theories about why Jesus stayed in that tomb for the weekend. I'll share some of those with you. Some say that he stayed 3 days in the tomb just to prove that he's dead. Well, the coroner, so to speak, announced him dead, but some say he just stayed in there to prove that he was dead. You know, and the theory is this, and it's a theory that still goes around Jerusalem and so forth. They say, you know, if Jesus had arose soon after he died, they would have said, well, he just passed out, he was unconscious, he swooned.
And some say, well, he just kind of passed out unconsciously. And when they took him and put him in the tomb, and the coolness of that tomb refreshed him, and he come back to life. He had just swooned. Well, if Jesus had resurrected shortly after dying on the cross, that might have had some credibility. But being in the tomb for 3 days knocked socks off that, doesn't it? You just are not going to be unconscious and pass out and, you know, and come back to life in 3 days after being 3 days in the tomb. If Jesus had wanted to prove that he really had died, he could have stayed in that tomb, what, 5 days, 10 days, 40 days? If he really wanted to prove. But no, the scripture said he couldn't do that. In fact, the psalmist says, and Jesus himself quoted, and he said that that God would not leave his soul in the grave, or hell, he says, which represents the grave, to experience corruption. And so you remember the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother. And Lazarus was very sick, and Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus to come to Bethany because they knew if Jesus had been there. And Martha told Jesus after he came this, said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, well, he said, he'll raise. And she said, I know he'll raise the last day. Jesus said, no, I'm the resurrection and life. Believe that. And they went to the tomb, and Jesus told them, said, roll the stone away. Martha said, no, don't do that. He's been dead 4 days. He's thick. And so, if Jesus had wanted to prove he was dead and say 10 days, that wouldn't work because he was flesh body like you and I. And in 3 days, in the fourth day, he would have been like risen. He would have been started to stink. And the scripture says that his body was not going to see corruption. So 3 days is a figure they used. He didn't swoon. He died. And he stayed there 3 days. Why did he spend a weekend in the tomb? The prophecy. They want to say prophecy, to fulfill prophecy. Well, in Matthew 12, Jesus was talking about the end time. He was talking about when judgment day was coming. He said that, you know, he's going to come and all's going to be called up. He's going to judge the sheep and the goats, left and right. And he's going to take into himself all those so-called sheep, and the goats are going to be cast into hell. And the Pharisees and Sadducees come into him and said, you know, show us a sign when that's going to happen. And Jesus said to them, you'll be no sign given to you except the sign of Jonas. That's Jonah. And so if people want to say that's prophecy, but you can't use that away. You see, what Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of God be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, Jesus did prophesy, but he prophesied that he would be in the belly of the earth. You can't use Jonah as prophecy. You know why? That's a true story. That happened. No prophecy there. So you can't use prophecy. You can't say that he stayed in there for the weekend to fulfill prophecy. No prophecy there at all. Third theory is to increase faith. Some say, well, he spent the weekend there giving the disciples some time to think about what was taking place. What had taken place as they walked with him. It would give them time to roll things over in their mind and consider and think, well, was he really him? Was all this of him? Is it all right? They would kind of settle these in their mind. Well, if he was going to spend the weekend, 3 days in the grave, and that was going to cause the disciples to have faith, more faith, why didn't he just spend 10 days, 20 days. Boy, that'd be great faith, wouldn't it? But that doesn't fit. 3 days would increase their faith. No, 10 days wouldn't increase their faith. And then the fourth theory is this, that he couldn't rise on the third on the Sabbath. Well, back in the book of Exodus, in chapter 35 and verse 2, it says, anybody that doeth a work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. So they want to say, if Jesus then would have raised from the dead on the Sabbath, they would consider that work. Well, now, you're probably ahead of me. If you're dead in a tomb and you're raised on the Sabbath just to be stoned to death again, that sure doesn't work, does it? Doesn't make sense. Why did Jesus spend the weekend in a tomb? All these theories doesn't explain why Jesus is in the tomb. And I'll be honest with you, I can't explain why Jesus spent 3 days in the tomb. But I want to tell you this, it doesn't matter. We have this saying, you know, everything matters. Policemen matter, which they do. Black men matter. White men matter. Everything matters. Everything doesn't matter. If Jesus spent the weekend in the tomb, it doesn't matter. Here's what really matters. He rose from the tomb. That's what matters. Speculate on why he was in there, why he was in there 3 days. I don't know. All I know, what really matters to me, and I hope it matters to you, that he rose from that tomb over death and hell, and rising out of that tomb assures us that we who have put our faith in him will one day also be raised with him. And it'll be more than 3 days weekend when we go with him. Easter is very special time. Simply because Christ rose from the dead. But it makes it possible. And to me this morning, the most important thing of the resurrection is the fact that people like you and I can rejoice with hope that one day, you know, Jesus one day, he's just going to step out of it. He's going to step right out of heaven, right out on one of them lofty clouds, and he's going to call the believers home. He's going to call them home. What a day that will be. We could all question why Jesus spent the week in the tomb, but it's a pointless question. The real thing that matters. You know, theologians, they try all kinds of ways to come up with things about Jesus. But the important thing about Jesus, and you can say, well, now listen, the birth of Jesus was important. It was. And you can say, when he was on the cross, it was important, and it was. But as important as those were, they weren't as important as the resurrection. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we wouldn't just throw the cross away. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we just should have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. But because of the resurrection, all things are made new. And all have hope. And that's what Easter is. Easter is a time of renewing our hope, isn't it? Renewing our faith, renewing our hope. To set our mind on, set our view on heaven. Look forward to the time when Jesus will ascend. Oh, he was in the belly of the earth Now he's in the heavenly home, and one day he's going to meet us halfway. One day he's going to meet us halfway. He's going to come, and we're going to be called, and we'll go. We'll be with him. That's all because of the resurrection. If it hadn't been for the resurrection, you and I just may as well eat, drink, and be merry and die. But because of the resurrection, we have the greatest hope. My heart goes out to people today who are just off, and there's nothing wrong with taking vacation. I'm so glad that we live in a nation. We have the freedom. We have an industry where you make enough money that you can take off and have a vacation, take a 2 or 3 day weekend once in a while. That is great. There's countries that can't do that. We are really blessed, you know. We are really blessed. And so for us to be able to come here today, and I'm so thankful to see people like you. You could have took off Friday. You could have been down to Myrtle Beach. You could have been down to Disney World. You could have been down to Smoky Mountains and walking around just right now. But you chose to come to the church. You chose to come here because, number one, because it's Easter. Easter represents the resurrection. And I believe you have faith in the resurrection. And I believe you want to show your and honor and show your faith in God who rose his son from the grave to give you and me and people like us hope. I would pray that all across this nation, around the world if it may be, and I hope it would be around the world, that there would be hundreds and thousands and millions of people just like you folks, sitting in places just like you're sitting right now, thinking about and remembering and having in your mind and having your thoughts and getting some visions of the resurrected Christ. You know, there's nothing else in this world matters like the empty tomb. Nothing in this world worth living for but the empty tomb. I don't know about you, but I have to say again, the most important question to you this morning is, do you believe that this one called Jesus, this one that was born in Bethlehem, this one that rose up and ministered for 3 years up and down the shores of Galilee, and this one who said that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to die and raise from the dead. The real question this morning is to you, do you believe he rose from the dead? That's the real question. That's really what matters in your life. All other things don't. Have you believed Jesus to be the Son of God? Are you here this morning, this Easter day that represents the resurrection of Jesus? Are you here because you believe that he is the resurrected one and that through his resurrection, he instills power within us that we'll be resurrected too one day? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you believe Jesus, Son of God, you've been buried in the water grave of baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. There's nothing more greater to rejoice about than that. But if you haven't, Easter is a very wonderful time to come to the Lord, seek him in your life, live for him, and tarry till the resurrection. I don't know about you, and maybe everybody in here has. And I don't say it boastful, I'm just saying I'm so glad that I come to know the resurrected Christ. And I have prepared for one day when he steps out on that cloud to meet him in the air. So the question this morning is to you as we close this service, have you done that? Have you done that? Nothing else matters in life if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to come. We invite you to come. It's not our invitation, it's the invitation of the Lord. He has sent forth us to share the gospel, share the good news of the resurrected one. And if you believe in him, receive him, you too will have the hope of the resurrection one day. If we stand and sing the first verse, we'll make a decision anyway. Please come.
life to begin. Let Jesus come into your heart. Just thou, Lord. Just now, throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Folks, we're so happy to see you. We thank you for being in the Lord's house. What an encouragement it is to see so many people who love the Lord and seek the Lord, celebrating this season of the resurrected one. Might he raise you up this week to experience things like you've never experienced before, because today you've sought this resurrected one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Might he bless you like never before. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to have the written word. How thankful we are to have this message that we serve a risen Savior. We believe that, dear God. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and we believe his promise when he said, because I live, you shall live also. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, dear God, for watching over and caring and blessing us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for each one present here this morning, that you'll look into their lives and bless them in a wonderful way, that as they leave here this morning, Heavenly Father, grant them safety throughout this week. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do those things which are right and proper in your sight. Help us, Heavenly Father, to rejoice in your goodness. Help us to always be good witnesses for Christ, the resurrected one, until the day that he comes to take us home to be with you. Thank you, Almighty God, for this time. Thank you for these people. Might you bless them well. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Amen.